Okay. This is February 7th. It's Monday. Oh, see, let's start over.
It's okay. It doesn't matter. We keep going. We'll cut that.
It's November 7th, 2005. It is Tuesday, Monday. I'm doing good. But I know I'm here with Shirley Sanborn and the members of the Fisher Body History team. And present today from the team includes
Doreen Howard,
Doug Rademacher,
Marilyn Colder,
John Fedor,
Cheryl McCoy,
and I'm Linda Johnson, and we're here to interview, as I said, Shirley Sanborn. Shirley, could you state your name and spell your last name for me?
Shirley Sanborn, S-A-N-B-O-R-N.
And you live where?
13835 Thornapple Drive, Perry, Michigan, 48872.
And Shirley, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your education, your family life before and when you hired in to Fisher Body?
Maybe one at a time.
One at a time.
When I graduated from high school, Eastern High School, in 1947, I went to work for Interstate Motor Freight Company on Ballard Street. I worked there 2 years and met my future husband there, Harold McGivern. And I talked on the phone with a man by the name of Clyde Miller who worked in the material control department. And he had a lady in his office that quit work and he said, "Why don't you come over and apply for the job?" And I said, "Why not? I wasn't making peanuts at Interstate, you know, like 45 cents an hour at that point in time." And I came over here and they hired me. I started on July 1st, 1949 and had Monday off for the 4th of July. So.
What a deal.
What a deal.
Did they pay better here?
$180 a month.
Oh,
if you call that better. Well, it was better than I was making. Mm-hmm. And then I worked in material control until, Mike and I got married in October of 51. And I was, at that point, I was already pregnant at that time. And I had my son Stephen in May of 52. And I didn't come back. They called me, but I didn't want to come back to work at that point in time. But then in 1955, they called and they had a sick leave replacement for Darlene Steeb, who worked in quality control at that time. So I said, okay, why not? You know, two incomes are better than one. And so I came and replaced her on sick leave, and then they had an opening in what was in the teletype room up the north end of the plant. George Newth was the supervisor of that. So I went up there and worked in teletype until George Newth's secretary, Virginia Watkins, left on pregnancy leave. So I went in and worked for George Newth until whenever. I don't remember the dates. Tell me. I was 69. I transferred
to engineering, consolidation.
They consolidated the sanitation department and waste control in with maintenance. And the person they had working in engineering, a man by the name of John Boris, was a total loser. So they were trying to figure out how to get rid of him. They finally succeeded. Bought him off, I guess. Mm. So then I went into engineering and worked for the engineer at that time was Lee Reese. I worked in there with him until he retired. Then Leonard Borma took over the duties there, and that's right where I stayed until I retired.
And that was, you retired in?
I retired officially on January 1st of 1993. I left on December 1st of 92. They had what they call the golden handshake at that time. So if I volunteered to retire at that point in time. I got paid like $20,000 or something like that.
Oh, great.
But I had to take the month without pay. Big deal.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. Mm-hmm. So I officially retired on January 1st, 1993. Since that time, my mother and dad had a cottage at Littlefield Lake up north, and my mother died in June of 1995, and I bought my brother's part out of the cottage up there, and so now I have a cottage at Littlefield Lake where I spend most of the summers, and my son built a cottage right next to mine, so we're all up there having a good time. My son is a teacher at Okemos, and his wife is a teacher at DeWitt. And they have three kids of my three grandchildren, and that's all I have.
That's great.
You know what?
Oh, yeah.
You just opened the box.
Oh, okay.
Okay. When you came to work here in 49, how were you treated as a woman working in a plant? And
like a peon.
Did they have dress codes for you? Or?
Well, you weren't allowed to wear blue jeans or pantsuits. You had to wear skirts and blouses and stuff like that. They didn't let us wear pantsuits until 1970 or thereabouts. And then there was no blue jeans. I mean, it was strictly
dress clothes.
Dressy pantsuits.
Mm-hmm. And as a woman in the plant, were you accorded the same when they had parties and stuff? Were you a participant in it? Or I had heard from some women that, you know, they would plan a party for a group of men, but the women in the department weren't invited. That personnel used to be that way.
Well, the company used to give the women Christmas parties, and men weren't invited to those.
Okay.
I mean, they were just women. So I guess it evened out.
All right.
He didn't. When Oldsmobile gave parties, they used to give them down the Civic Center, then everybody went, and they gave out turkeys or whatever. That brings up a whole different subject.
Yeah. Different culture. Different plant culture. When you first started in here, what did you feel like when you walked into the plant, into an assembly plant?
I worked in the office all the while I was here, and the only time I went out in the plant was if just nosing around. I had no business being out there.
Oh. They let you know that, or?
No.
Didn't care to?
No. Well, you had to walk at one point in time. I worked up in the front offices at that time. And you had to walk through a tunnel and past the paint booths to get to Building 9 offices.
Uh-huh.
So that was about the extent of my vision in the plant.
So most of this plant's kind of grown up around you over the years.
Oh, yes. Well, yeah, they eliminated the whole paint department. I worked here during the construction of the whole new body shop, paint shop. That was a big deal. Really big deal.
Mm-hmm. Working for Mr. Borman.
Yeah, most of the people came in from Works Engineering, Fisher by General Offices, and they did most of the contracting and put out the bids. And we had people here from Works Engineering. That's when my friend Susan Seitz now, she hired in to replace me as vacation replacement. Then she stayed on as the construction clerk type of thing. Did all that. So we worked together, and we'd have to prepare all the bid proposals, assemble all the stacks and stacks of proposals, and then Frank Melvick was a construction engineer at that time. He'd meet with bidders and contractors and show them what needed to be done and go on from there.
Wow. Sounds like a lot of work.
It was a lot of work.
For two people.
You're right.
Women's work.
Women's work. Well, that's what Brahma told me one time. Since you make good money for a woman. Somehow I made good money for a man at that point in time, you know?
Yeah.
Because I was, when I retired, I was making $3,000 a month, so that wasn't bad for a woman. It wasn't bad for a man either.
Still
especially outside the plant.
Over the years of women coming into the plant, you were probably, there weren't a whole lot of you back in 1949, were there?
There were a lot of women here.
Were there?
A lot of women. There was probably 40 or 50 women in accounting up front. Mm-hmm. They had all key punch operators and comptroller women. That they did all the payrolls.
Mm-hmm. And they that was done right here,
and they did them all on plant calculators. And mm-hmm. Yeah, they had. Then they had an addressograph room where they did all the addressograph stuff and did all the time cards and everything. I mean, there were a lot of women here at that
point. So that was quite a process back then.
Oh yes. And that was before data processing, mm-hmm. before computers.
So, Doreen Howard?
At what time frame did a lot of the changes come into effect in as far as the data processing and things like that?
Biggest change came about when they combined Oldsmobile and Fisher Body.
And what was it that they changed at that time?
Well, they started transferring people between plants. People that had worked here for 25, 30 years were suddenly shuffled off to Buffalo. And, of course, people that worked at Oldsmobile's always... Should I say it?
Sure. Say it, yes.
They always thought they were better than the Fisher Body people. So being... For them to be transferred over to Fisher Body was like kicking the seat because they didn't want any part of us and they were... better than us, mm-hmm. better than us. Mm-hmm. And they weren't bashful about letting you know that they were being put upon. Totally.
Yeah. I've met
a lot of
people.
Hard feelings. I mean, mm-hmm. it changed the whole atmosphere mm-hmm. of working here. It went from everybody knew each other and were friends and went on out for work and had drinks or whatever. And we're all... As I say, one big happy family, more or less. After that, it was dog eat dog. I mean, mostly, I think, more of the men, because the women weren't too much affected directly. Mm-hmm. But the men took a beating.
Yeah.
And we lost a lot of good intelligence. Just like when Works Engineering went out in Detroit, they... People there, they had knew the plants, how the conveyors went, how the plants ran, what worked and what didn't work. Their whole education just went, and you start from scratch.
Yeah.
Do it wrong again.
Yeah. Train somebody now. Mike, did you have a question?
Yes, Mike Fleming. Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
You were talking about the $3,000 a month. Before that, the question I wanted to ask you was, how did you feel about the pay equity? It just started, you know, quite some time ago, and it's been 40 years, I'm sure. From the time you started to where you are now, how did you feel about the pay equity between men and women?
The pay scale here was a very, very top secret business. Nobody would to even say what they made. Or tell anybody else what their salary was. Period. I mean, that was a big no-no.
So whenever they came around and gave a raise, they would say...
You kept your mouth shut. The raises we got, and I have to say this, but all the time the contracts were signed and everything, the salaried workforce got... as good, if not somewhat better, than the hourly got at that point in time. We were never shorted on increases along that line until they quit giving, they quit giving cost of living increases. And they said that would be incorporated in a merit scale program that would go on. Well, about a year later, they canceled the merit program. So you just got nothing.
out of 40 years, did they give you all service awards for every 10, 15, 20, 25 years? Did you give anything for your service time?
I got a bracelet with a little, I should have wore it, little Fisher coach on it. That go in for 5, 10, 15, 25 years, I got a clock. In 30, you got a little pendant thing with, like, jewels in them. Like, three diamonds was 40 years or something like that.
Cool.
So, I still got all that crap. I mean,
if you want to make donations to the museum, we're looking...
What museum?
At Michigan State University.
Oh, really? They have a museum at Olds Transportation Museum.
Yes, well, they probably like that, too, but we're working in conjunction.
I've got a collection of model Oldsmobile cars dating back from 1957 to 1975. Mm-hmm. You know, it used to sit on the counter behind me.
Yep.
Yeah.
I got
that's dinner. Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you want to make a donation, we can set it up. So think about it.
Well, as I told my son, those model cars, last I heard, they're worth about $300 each.
Oh, my. Well,
and I told them they could like go to my grandson's college education.
They can only go up in value.
I have some cups and glasses. So.
Yeah. Pictures.
Coasters.
Doug Grandmaker.
Cars, no.
I want to go back a moment. You shared that when you came in 49, there were lots of women in the workplace. Now, I could be wrong, but there was a time right after the war that women had filled the workplace here during the war, and then there came a period when the women were being forced out to bring the men back into the workplace. Did you see any of that?
No.
No?
I started after the war in 49, so by that time, although there are some women in our retirees club that were here during that period of time, not me.
Okay.
Besides work, there was some fun times that you were responsible for in your department, and as well as the Fisher Body Women's Club. Could you tell us about some of those?
Well, the Women's Club used to hold dances usually once a year, and we would have poster parties to a bunch of women to get together and make posters for the dances. And then well, they also had style shows. I was not involved in that. It was a period of time between the time I left and came back when they had most of the style shows, but they put on some pretty good shows, I understand. I went to one and won a purse, so it must have been
all
right.
That's
they did that almost every year, and it was a lot of fun.
Where would they have those at?
Well, there used to be the Elks Club.
Okay.
When it was down on North Lansing by where Estes Furniture used to be.
Mm-hmm.
The Elks Club used to be down. Then we had some at the Elks Club when it was on Moores River Drive.
Mm-hmm.
Our department parties were all over. Brian Wendell and I were basically did most of those.
Mm-hmm.
And we had those. Oh, we had them at the Elks Club, and we had them at the 48 Club, and Radisson Hotel. And a lot of other places. Used to be Club Roma out by Langsburg.
I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, yes,
mm-hmm.
Jambalaya.
Oh, Jambalaya.
Yeah, Jambalaya now. It's changed names.
Sweetwater.
But we had some good parties. Really good parties.
Mike Fleming?
Did you ever have an opportunity in your job to travel for the company, or are you always here in Lansing?
I didn't travel for the company. I had one time Chris Ignash and I, she was the maintenance clerk. She and I went to Buffalo, New York one time on a letter writing seminar. I was supposed to learn how to write letters. We had a lot of fun. That was the only trip I went on. But we did learn a lot.
Well, you also, the Women's Club was responsible for the store in the plant.
That store, yes.
Quite popular with the employees.
We set the store up and donated. The money went to different charities around town. Every year we'd figure out how much money we had and then divvy it up between various organizations, like Salvation Army and WKAR and whatever.
Yeah, it was
else we thought was a good idea. Yeah, it was quite
about
a list.
At least 12, as I recall.
And we took turns manning the store until they started putting job space people in there, and then we got relieved of that duty. But
what did you sell in the store?
Well, a lot of company logo jackets and sweatshirts and T-shirts and candy, a lot of candy, different kinds of candy and whatnots. If handicraft stuff, if people wanted to bring it in and sell it, we sold belt buckles and with the Fisher emblem mm-hmm. on them.
You could have sold a lot of that stuff as the plant was getting ready to close down.
Oh, I bet.
Doreen Howard?
What was a normal work day like for you? What did your day consist of? What time did you start work, and what time did you end work?
41 years I worked here, it started at 8 o'clock in the morning. I left at, we used to get an hour lunch, and then they made that 42 minutes. So I got out of here at, 4:42 or whenever that amounted to. Basically, I didn't change hours at all.
That was nice for you.
Yeah. Do you have any time to? I lived out by Frandor at that time. Run home and watch a soap opera and come back. Fast trip.
What was some of your daily activities that you did every day, as far as your position, something that they relied on you every day to do certain things?
Well, when I worked for George News, we had daily scrap reports. They'd turn in all the plant rejected material type of thing, broken windshields and scrap this, scrap that. And you had to make out a daily scrap report. And then we had a report showing on the windshield how many windshields were broken on each shift by process and then we had all these sanitation people, and I had kept all their daily hours. Every week you'd add up their hours, and then if there was discrepancies in between trades, like say the janitors, one janitor had more hours than the other, then they had to jockey back and forth to equalize the hours between them, keep track of all the employee. They had these little envelope packets with all their transfer slips and hiring notices and all that stuff in them. And to keep track of all those, and when they got transferred to another department, you send all this relevant information to the next department. And it was busy. I earned my keep, basically.
Needed a rest just to go home and watch a soap opera.
Days of our lives, as the world turns. But that was when I was in sanitation waste control. When I went out to engineering, it was a whole different ballgame.
Mm-hmm. What did they expect of you from the engineering department that was different from the sanitation department?
Well, then you were took care of all the... there's always construction going on. Always. 12 months a year, someplace, somehow. So that was always making up proposals and running copies and doing all the... I was Bormas' secretary clerk, so doing all his typing for him, writing his letters for him, and editing his writings.
So you got a lot more job responsibility when you moved to the engineering, as far as the amount of work you had to do. increased.
Yeah. Yeah. Much more.
Mike Fleming?
Throughout all the time you've been here, 41 years, I'm sure there's been good and bad. Can you think of what you would consider one of the best days that you've had since you've been here at this facility?
January 1st, 1993.
Significance?
They are retired. No, I have to say this. I enjoyed my work very much. I enjoyed being here. I had a lot of good friends. I did a lot of work, and I was praised for it continuously. The bosses were very, very good about complimenting my work and how I did it and how fast I did it and whatever. I mean, the engineers, the guys in the engineering office were, you know, they'd give me something to do and I'd do it, you know.
Was there one day that was maybe could have been an accident, it could have been a party, could have been, what stands out in your mind most out of 41 years? Nothing particular? Something had to happen.
The only one thing that stands out in my mind is when I got my 25-year clock and I had to go up to Mr. Wheathorn's office. And he's, I don't know if you knew Mr. Wheathorn or not, but he was a very tall guy. He was funnier than a crutch. I mean, he tried to put you at ease. The more he tried to put you at ease, the more uneasy you got. So, but that particular event stood out in my mind for a long time.
So what did you do when you got the clock? You want to talk about it? No?
When I got what?
When you got your clock. And you went
That was kind of an afterthought, basically. Mm-hmm. No, he was a good guy. He was funny. I used to replace the secretary when she was gone. Her name was Pearl Purdy. You go in there to replace her, and here's B. Wheathorn sitting at her typewriter typing up his own letters. Well, he wasn't the plant manager then, but the plant manager, Mr. Trump, came out and told him, says, we don't pay you to type letters. And we had a good time. I mean, basically, it was a friendly, everybody was polite, kind. There were a few.
What did you think about the name?
Assholes around, but mm-hmm. They're here everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know?
Did you ever have anyone in the maintenance organization build anything special for you, like a government job, you know, maybe something for your desk or something for your cottage or like that?
No. The only thing I had built for me was a little plastic thing they kept my cars in. On the counter mm-hmm. behind me, mm-hmm. this little slotty thing that mm-hmm. held all the cars. And that wasn't built for me particularly. Mm-hmm. No. No way.
Doug Rademacher.
I can't say that for everybody, but this.
So you're speaking about some cars. What are these cars, and how many do you have, and who were they put together? Did you put them?
They were put out by the Oldsmobile Public Relations Department and the Oldsmobile Women's Club. And what they are a model car about so big, an exact replica of an Oldsmobile. Underbody, the doors didn't open, but the whole thing is an exact replica of a car that was built at that time.
So they're between 10 and 12 inches long?
Yeah, about 10 inches. Okay. And I have from 57 to 75. And I've got a couple with extras in there. So 20?
Yeah.
A nice set.
Yeah.
And these are all models of vehicles built here at Lansing?
Yep. Including the Tornado and
mm-hmm. station wagon and the 442.
Wow.
Yep.
Interesting.
Did you put them together yourself?
No.
Oh. Pardon?
Did you put them together yourself or did they come already assembled?
I had some myself and then they came various. One of the former plant engineers, Bob McKinstry, had a roll of them, and then Lee Reese had a row of them, and then there was somebody else that had some. And they were all upstairs in the display case on the aisle that went past the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. And they ended up down in John Rosen's office, and he called one time, and I don't know why, they took all those display cases down and did whatever with them. And he called, and he said he had all these model cars up there. He says, does anybody want them, or do you want me to chuck them? I said, I want them. So he hauled them down to me, and they were all dusty, dirty, crappy, abused. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I took them in the restroom, washed them all.
Made them all shiny again.
Got them all shiny again, and had them all lined up on the counter behind me there. And then I don't even know who brought it up. I think it was Dan McLean. Says, I can have your case built for those. Because people kept coming by and wanting to steal them. Mm-hmm. And they'd steal anything that wasn't nailed down sometimes. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Dan had that case built for me, and I had a padlock, had a lock on it, so that preserved them. Then when I retired, I told Leonard Barma I wanted to take those cars, and he said, oh, you don't want those old things. I said, yes, I do. He says, no, you don't. I said, well, okay. So I left, and he went on vacation. I came in and got him.
Well, Dan
with
was
with the help
one
of a couple of other people
that brought those notebooks to our attention.
Mm-hmm. There are some women's club book, girls' club albums around here someplace.
I haven't.
But maybe they got tossed.
Know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe Terry Weston took them home with her. I don't know.
Cheryl McQuay.
You've mentioned that you worked with Leonard Barma. What was he like to work for?
Super.
Was he? Good boss.
Good boss. Yep, very good boss.
I know the one thing I always heard about Leonard Barma was if you asked him what a project was going to cost, he always said it'll cost what it costs.
Yep.
And that was his saying.
Figure what it costs and add 10%. He had, at that point in time, his hair was still red, and he had a temper that he would lose occasionally, but never to me. Never to me. We got along fine.
Doreen Howard?
You were here during the name changes of the plant. It went from Fisher Body to BLC. Were you here during the BLC?
No, BOP.
BOP?
Then BOC.
Then BOC? Okay.
Buick Olds Pontiac.
Oh, okay.
And Buick Olds Cadillac.
Okay.
And then were you here from when it went to the LCA?
Oh, yes.
Okay. How did you feel about these name changes?
I thought it was ridiculous.
And what do you refer to the plant? How do you refer to this building?
Fisher Body.
Do you have any special memories or anything about the building that's dear to your heart or anything?
No. I sat at the same desk for 40 years, but not quite. But.
In 1949, Maryland Culture, this question was, what about the women's facilities? I know they've had to put more out on the floor. Did the women who worked in the office, did they have the same number of facilities as the men did?
There was one restroom.
Just one restroom?
One for men, one for women. That's all there was. Up in the main office area.
Doug Rademacher?
There used to be a garden of flowers and bushes that made up the Fisher Body coach out in front.
Yeah.
Was that here the day you hired in, or do you know when that was created?
It was there when I hired in, and it was there until they decided it cost too much to maintain, basically.
Do you know when that
is? The gardeners used to work in the department I worked in for waste control, salvage, sanitation. They'd go out there and keep all the flowers, planted them every spring, and then they had a chalk diagram that they put down in the spring, and then they'd plant these flowers according to the diagram, and then they'd all summer long they were out there clipping and clumping and clipping and clipping and clipping. But yeah, it was. People came from all over to take pictures of that thing. Mm-hmm. All over.
I grew up 3 blocks from here, and that was something I'll always remember, and couldn't believe they took it out.
Oh, I know. It's such a shame. I mean, what the hell, you know? I mean, these guys worked as gardeners, but they didn't spend all their time clipping. They mowed the yards, picked up trash, all the rest of the gardening stuff. You know, it was not my decision.
Well, you said people came from all over.
Other countries even.
That's what I was wondering. Do you know? For example?
Not specifically, no, but I know they did. They were out there taking pictures all the time.
it was beautiful.
It was. It was unusual. I mean, you have a picture of a coach in the center of this thing, and in all the different colors that the flowers were all different colors to go with the coach. So it was beautiful. It really was.
Well, is there anything I haven't asked you or my cohorts haven't asked you? Doug Rademacher?
I'll ask another question.
Okay.
You shared that after contracts that your wages were always increased according to the gains made by the union. Could you share a little bit about what you think about unions? And
I think the greatest thing since mashed potatoes. I mean, at that point in time, if it hadn't been for the union, we wouldn't have got squat. And we knew it. I mean, there was no getting around it. Everybody knew that. If they didn't, they were stupid. Okay. That's not, that was wrong too, but... But no, I think, I'm depresses me greatly to see the things that the unions go through nowadays with a lot of things. Delphi, for example. Used to be Turnstead back when I hired in. Matter of fact, the guy that ran the Turnstead desk in material control is the guy that suggested I come over here and get hired. So.
Grateful to him, I think.
Yeah.
So you were here for when they struck for 30 and out? Back in what was that, about 70?
The union, I think that was the 69. When they walked out for the 30 and out, the union asked for 30 years of service to retire. Do you remember that?
I don't remember it specifically, but my brother worked in a paint shop, and he retired with 30 and out, so he retired at 48, the dumbest shit. I mean... And then he's been griping ever since about all the money he doesn't get.
Do you have any other family members that worked here besides your brother? What was your brother's name?
Frank Kobel.
Frank Kobel.
K-O-B-E-L. He's now living in Florida. He's got 3 children that live down there, and his wife died a couple years ago, so he's anything else?
Is there anything else you'd want to share that we haven't asked you?
Well, if you want to know why my name is Sanborn and not McGivern.
Yeah, why is that?
It's because my son's father and I were divorced, and I remarried a guy named John Sanborn, who was a pipe fitter welder for the local 288.
Oh.
No. But he's dead now, too. Oh. They're all dead.
Not little
mom. All dead. So it's just me and my son and his wife and 3 kids.
How old are those grandchildren?
The oldest is 16, the next boy is 14, the girl is 13. They all go to DeWitt.
Cheryl McQuaid.
How did you meet Mr. Sanborn?
The bowling alley.
Were you on a bowling team? Or?
Yeah, women's, Fisher by women's team.
Oh, how fun.
Do you have a picture
of you? He was on a construction team.
That's another thing we'd like, a picture of a Fisher Body bowling team in their Fisher Body shirt. Got something like that?
I don't know for certain. I'd have to. I've got 26 photo albums full of pictures at home.
Goodness.
Well, think about that. We were looking for something like that.
If you could find the Women's Club album, it might have something. I'm not sure about that.
Is that how the bowling team came about? Was it part of the Women's Club? Or
no, it was just a bunch of women got together and made a bowling team. A league.
So it was all co-workers.
We had six teams or something like that.
Doug Rademacher.
You said you had a great time working here. You had good friends. Has your friendships carried over into your life after Fisher Body?
Not really, no.
You said that you meet with the gals, so can you tell us about
I meet with them once a month, but we're friends, but not buddies. There's a difference.
Okay.
No. The my one, I'm probably a lot different than a lot of women. I had very few close friends. My closest friend moved to Wyoming last year, which really put us apart.
That's a distance, huh?
Yeah, that's a distance. Other than that, no.
Okay.
I've learned to live alone. I've lived alone now for 31 years.
Wow.
And I don't mind my own company, so, you know.
We don't mind your company either.
We don't mind it.
No problem.
Well, thank you for coming here today.
Yes, thank you very much.
It's great to see you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed it.